Good morning. As we're in between books, and I get to kind of come up with some random ideas in the meantime, this is an old thought that I had that I'm bringing this morning. Have you ever been in a situation or a conversation, then afterwards you have some thoughts about it, and you're like, man, it'd be fun to be able to present that or something to a group or stand up here and get to present it? Well, this was a thought that I had, I don't know how many years ago. I think it's got to be somewhere between 10 and 20 years ago I had this interaction. And I'm going to use it to build a straw man and then knock him down, hopefully. So years ago, we had a gentleman come through town, and we had a meeting with him. He is a Christian and a professor, I believe, if I recall correctly, at a college. And he wanted to talk to us about Genesis. And we have different forms of speech in the Bible, like Jesus used parables, right? And the Bible does things like call us the bride of Christ, or I probably can't say this behind the pulpit, but he called Israel a whore a few times. Don't want to defile it. But we have different ways of talking about things in Scripture, but they're usually pretty clear. If you're honest with that piece of Scripture, you know, like, oh, this is a picture of something. And you can kind of relate and figure it out. Or it was from a time that we don't fully understand, but with some historical study, we might understand it. Or we don't, and we leave it where it is, but we understand it's a form of speech. And this gentleman, and I just want to say up front, I don't know this guy. For all I know, he's the most well-intentioned Christian who takes care of orphans and widows and prays every morning and noon and night. This is not talking bad about him. I just want to throw that out there for those of you who have been here long enough to maybe figure out who I'm talking about. So, but this gentleman suggested that if you read Genesis 1, you can't walk away thinking that it's literal. It presents as literal, but it must be a form of speech that we don't understand. And I had a really hard time with that, and I argued with him, and I had no great arguments. But I was flabbergasted that you would read Genesis 1 and dismiss it as a form of speech without any evidence that it's a form of speech. And I think he was looking at me and scratching his head going, how can you read Genesis 1 and not think it's a form of speech, because it can't possibly be what it says. That's based on a really old memory. So, but I remember I had to leave a little bit early, and I remember driving and having some thoughts, because that's what happens. You walk away and then you start making connections as you think about it. And I tried to think about how he might have been seeing Genesis. And so this is what I imagined in my mind. He thought. That doesn't mean he thought that. It's just what I imagined maybe he thought. And so let's see, Genesis. We can go to Genesis, because I think we're going to read it. Genesis 1:1, that's the first book in your Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And this is kind of what I imagined. We can do the first slide. I brought three slides today. This is, of course, silly. God is not a magician and he's not an old man. But I was thinking, you know, the earth wasn't created yet. And as human beings, we attach images in our heads with words. We just do. It's natural. And so here's the new earth. And somebody says, well, who says something? God. And he says, let there be light. Probably not in English. In fact, for sure not in English. And probably not in Greek. Maybe in Hebrew? Or in some spiritual language of the angels? I don't speak Hebrew, but I speak German, so I thought that might work. Maybe the Lord was on the surface of the water and he was standing there. Of course, it was the Spirit here, but we're not sure exactly which part of the Godhead speaks. But, you know, I imagine like an old dude that is God going, Es werde Licht! And I'm making fun of this and making it ridiculous. But if you read this and you picture things in your head, that might be a, okay, maybe not that, but something like that might be a realistic thing that you get in your head. Turn that off. So that's kind of what came to my mind. And I thought, okay, so if you look at Genesis and you think God, maybe not physical, but he says some words. And because of those words, something happens. I don't believe that either. So it made me wonder, what do I think about Genesis? And so I started remembering some things. As a child, I had we had these what are they called? Records? Vinyls? Vinyls, yeah. This old vinyl set that was The World is Sound or something like that. It was in German, so I don't remember the exact title, but it talked about everywhere there's sound from tiny creatures to whales in the ocean, and it played the sounds, and it was nice, and space, and human beings, how we make sounds, and it talks about instruments, and it just explained that basically the entire world is energized with sound. But it's still sound. I grew up where every kind of magic or fantasy story was considered demonic and evil. And I was not allowed to play with certain toys. I brought some of that to my kids. I think they were mad at me for that. but so many things were against the rules, and all types of magic is absolute evil, except for Lord of the Rings, which is, you know... Don't ask me why, but for some reason that was okay. But all other forms are evil and demonic. And but now that I'm older, I've read some books or audiobooks because I don't read good. And some of them are audiobooks. There's this one series that I tried to listen to called In the Name of the Wind. And one of the concepts is that if you knew the true name of the wind, then you could call the wind. And that's true about all the things around us. And so many fantasy stories we have some kind of premise like that when it comes to the magic side, right? There's some kind of secret word that if you knew this word and you used this word, somehow power is attached to that. Unfortunately, we do that in Christianity too. We can't help it. It's kind of part of our nature, right? We ask the Lord for something, and then we magically say, in Jesus' name, amen, and that will somehow make it cool with God. bless this corn dog to my body. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. He's probably not going to bless that corn dog to your body unless you're in a third world country starving and he causes somebody to drop a case of them at your doorstep. Then maybe he's also going to bless those to your body, hopefully. But in most cases, I would say probably not. In fact, it might be witchcraft, right? You have your thoughts and the things that you want and you express those. And then how do I get what I want? This little box of things that I want? I say in Jesus' name, amen. And then I get my box of things. We do that every day. It's this idea that I think in a way comes from over-spiritualizing weird things. And we see it in Genesis where when it says, and God said, let there be light, that we imagine God saying, let there be light in some human language. Is God human? No, God is not human. If we look around in nature, we see different forms of speech. I mean, we know about sign language. Obviously, some humans have to use sign language because they can't radiate sound. Radiate is the wrong word, but they can't express sound properly, or they can't hear, so they've never learned how to properly express sound. Sound is actually the only thing that we know how to express outward from the body. You see me standing up here, I'm not radiating this image. Those lights are creating the light, and it's just bouncing off of me. And so you see me. But I'm not radiating that. I pretty much only radiate or express or push out sound. It's the only thing I know with my body to push out. I know some other things. If you're a scientist in here, you're going to break this down and go, actually, you have an electrical signal. But you can't see that electrical signal, so I can't use it for communication. On the other hand, there are some fish and some eels that can communicate through electrical signals. There are birds that can make noises outside of our spectrum of hearing or expressing. Let's see, I got to get to my notes for this a little bit. All right, yeah. They're jellyfish. Jellyfish and some fungi. Although I didn't really want to include fungi because it's not even an animal. Harder to relate to. But and fireflies, that's a pretty good hint. What do they? They use something completely different for expression. Bioluminescence. They can radiate light to communicate to one another. The entire universe is full of things that communicate through electricity. We were talking about living beings, but the sun radiates all kinds of materials and parts of the electromagnetic spectrum, right? You got all these different waves that are hitting us, or the Earth's atmosphere protects us from those things. These are all expressions. So if a bird or a jellyfish or a bug or a bat, dolphins, I didn't mention dolphins. I mean, it's just sound. But do you know that they can identify a pregnant woman and see the baby inside of her by bouncing that sound around? If these animals can communicate and discover in ways, in all these different ways, imagine or ask yourself, why would we think of God as when he says something, saying it in English, obviously not in English, or Hebrew, or any other kind of like human mouth related way? We shouldn't. God expresses himself in many powerful ways. there is an image of God found in Revelation chapter 4. And go ahead and put that image up, might as well. This is a goofy, you know what? I looked as hard as I could for a good image. And this is missing some obvious things and added things that are unnecessary, but artists. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne, and he who was sitting was like a jasper stone, and a sardius in appearance, and there was a rainbow around him, around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their head. Out from the throne came flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. We'll leave it there. So I think the key pieces I kind of want to pay attention to here is there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. And there were flashes of lightning, totally missing here. Flashes of lightning and peals of thunder. So you see this picture of God on the throne, and he's emanating all these things, sound, light, electricity, just blasting from him. So when I look at Genesis chapter 1, I'm thinking, wow. So when God spoke, first of all, if you look in the beginning of Genesis 1, in the beginning God creates the heavens and the earth. And you get this idea that there's this raw material, right? It's all the things God needs. And then he starts speaking and saying, "Let there be." And I can't help but imagine, and this is my imagination because we use images with our words. I have to imagine God's voice coming from everywhere, because he's not a person. He's not that magician that I had up there on the screen, right? But his voice coming from everywhere, and Adam starting to spin, and sound moving things. I didn't talk about sound moving things. That's so sad. There's so many new experiments with sound, right? Where you can levitate something on sound because of the waves, and you can literally draw heat from one side of say a tube. You can draw heat from one side to the other side of the tube out of the thin air and make one side cold and one side hot if you use the right frequencies. Sound is amazing what it can do. So God using sound and electricity and light to basically, which are all movements and they're all waves, to form the world into creation and bring it to life. And I found that thought so, I don't know, enlightening. Because after that conversation that I had with that gentleman, and again, I totally set up a straw man. He did not come up with the idea that he imagines a man speaking in Hebrew, "Let there be light." But after that, it made me be able to look at Genesis again and read it and realize it's not what I imagine simplistically, but it is probably, it is. It's literally true. So I wanted to look at a couple other scriptures Dan suggested this one. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. This is tying Jesus to creation, and it's tying Jesus to the power of creation. So Jesus wasn't just there, but he is the creator. Let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 15, he is the image, this is talking about Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And it's especially that last verse for me. Because remember that throne room where oh, it's still up. Cool. Where the power of God radiates out. Literally, Jesus is holding all things together by the power of his might. Right now, you sitting here, it's only because Jesus maintains your presence actively. When you're doing good, Jesus is personally maintaining your presence here on earth. And when you're doing bad, we're worried about God seeing the bad things that we do. Dude, he's literally holding those hands together that are doing the things that they're doing. You would cease to exist. By his voice, you're sitting here today, and I'm standing here today. And that is just a beautiful thought. And it's so nice to see some of this imagery. Not that picture, but, you know, the concept of the picture. And that God is literally holding me together and knows me that personally and decides to still love me and redeem me and make me part of his family and make you part of my family. And that's wonderful. All right, that's it. I hope it was kind of fun or interesting. If you're a scientist, ignore my small little things. And any thoughts on that or comments? Yes, sir.
Kind of late, but it fits right in with something I got pretty excited about over the weekend. I have a pen pal in German, if you remember that. This pen pal is in some way or another connected to a level of education that far surpasses anything I ever hoped to achieve in quantum physics, and she was sharing with me that they have just recently, molecular biologists have just recently discovered that our cells actually emanate light and communicate with one another. And that is amazing because in Scripture it says, you know, God is the light. The Gospel of John, it says, you know, that he came, or John bear witness of him, you know, this is the light, the true light, the one that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Whether that's a direct connection to what the molecular biologists have discovered, I don't know, but it's a pretty cool thought. We have this light that he has, this energy that he has created. It's kind of cool.
in John 1:1 and follow. The word "word" is English, and it's little. Translated from the Greek word logos, and getting into logos, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It's sometimes used of a spoken word or a written word, some communication, but it's even more than that. It includes the concept. Mm-hmm. It includes the creativity. It includes the beauty. Logos is huge. In the beginning was the logos. He had a plan. He had the idea. He had the concept. And Jesus is that.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, great.
Just to make bigger what is kind of little in my thinking mind.
Yeah. Yeah, logo, in my studies, and I know you studied it differently than I did, but, well, first we get the word logic from it, but in some of the studies that I did, I got the impression that it's more the cause behind the logic, like the premise, the reason, which also fits very nicely with Jesus.
Michael in Hebrews chapter 1 talks about God speaking to the prophets in many ways. Last days he spoke through his son, who's his image and reputation. Then it says, and through him, Jesus, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And it literally means he carries this. Once again, he's not a person like us in his hand. The content is he's carrying all things. And there is one where it says he upholds all things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many years ago the scientists came up, because we should just fly apart. Cells and stuff, it should just blow apart. And so they came up with that holds everything together, and they called them gluons. And that's what holds it together. And of course, it's fantasy thinking. But it says that Jesus holds all things together and carries it forward to the city. And that's some kind of thing you can put in mind.
So Michael Fred.
Yeah, as a past scientist and also somebody who speaks a sort of gentler version of German.
Oh man, it worked for a fact.
Es werde Licht. I think I'm happy to hear you say that Genesis is literally true, because it is.
Amen.
But do we understand it, or are we intended to understand it? I doubt it. We are gifted with an inquisitive mind as a species, as humans, but it has led these scientists, of which I am one, or used to be, down the garden path of believing they can explain everything. They're so wrong. Really wrong. And I think the same is true with the last book of the Bible. There are images that John experienced. Am I right, John? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a human mind. He can't possibly comprehend anything beyond that. And so, again, I don't know if we're intended to comprehend all that and ever explain it. That's just the way it is.
Right.
Get used to it.
Yeah.
Isn't the Bible all about faith? You have to just believe that this is what it is and accept it. That's what Jesus came to say, I thought.
Mm.
We can't figure out everything. We just have to accept the fact that this is the way it is.
Mm. That's fascinating.
Without faith, it is impossible to
exactly.
Please God.
It is. I don't know. Yeah, that gets difficult for me. And not because I'm not willing to believe something that I don't understand or can't see or touch. But I do think the Bible teaches us a lot about having faith out of reasons, right? We trust Jesus more and more as believers over time as we experience his faithfulness. You see a lot of Christians that don't have a lot of faith in Jesus. They don't trust him very much. I've been in places like that, especially in my teenage years, where I did not trust God very much. And it's because we had not built that trusting relationship.
Thomas.
I'm not a huge fan of blind faith, there's a place for it, but it's based on experience and the faithfulness of God, not on me just, I just believe this because then that would be true for every religion. What if it were a wrong religion? Well, I just have faith. Well,
I don't mean it like that.
Right.
I mean that you have to believe that God created this, and you have to believe that he's the ultimate.
Right.
But I think he's given us, he's shown us this, and we have to believe that he's told us is true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
so that's
and that,
what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah, I'm with you there, for sure. Was there somebody else here that I ignored before I moved back to the left?
I was just throwing out there Thomas, just saying that, you know,
oh, Thomas.
Here's a man that was like, unless I put my finger in the hole and see this, you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
So that needs to happen. Okay.
Poor Thomas. You know, most of the disciples, apostles, didn't believe until they saw Jesus. He's just the one we like to pick on. But yeah, yeah, you're right. Yes.
This is the verse that has gotten me through most of the Bible. It's Deuteronomy 29:29. For the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of the law. If you figure it out, your God's not big enough.
Right, right, right. Absolutely, God is bigger than us. Yeah.
You know.
And we don't need to figure out all things. Paul says, if you think, what was it? If you think you know, you do not yet know as you are. Something like that.
Yeah. And I really, because I don't have a scientific mind at all, and I'm with Jenny. But, it, you know, on the way to church, I usually, when I'm driving to church every week, and I use that as real time to just pray.
Mm-hmm.
And God really does speak to me when I'm driving to church. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that Miss Kay Arthur says, because I really, really love her and hear from her, she says, nothing comes into your life unless it's filtered through the fingers of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, just talking about all of this makes me just think that that is the bottom line, you know. And when Paul, one of the greatest minds we could ever conceive, actually, for me at least, is, you know, he said, I am convinced, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor anything created can separate me from the love of God.
Exactly.
And that, to me, when you know that you know,
mm-hmm,
that, then you can say what we sing, may it be come what may. You know, that I rest all my days.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing.
All right. I think the only thought after this I would like to also quickly express based on this whole thing is, we think we're so smart. That's why I did that, right? I think I'm so smart. But I would just in general recommend believe God first and then fill in the details over time as they're revealed to you. If you don't understand something in Scripture, don't assume it's wrong. I know it seems silly to say at church, but we do that and pray about it. And maybe the Lord will give you some ideas. And even once he's done giving you ideas, you will not understand the universe. All right, let's pray. Lord God, this was kind of a fun thing for me to go over this and try and present it, Lord, but as we move forward this morning, as we spend time together in fellowship, and as we learn more about you in the next hour, I pray for your presence and your Holy Spirit, that we would talk to each other correctly, that we would learn, that we would have open ears, and that you would be glorified in our midst this morning. I thank you that you care about us despite knowing us so intimately that you literally are holding us together, and yet you love us. Thank you. We give you honor and glory. Amen.